Our first scripture reading this morning is from the Hebrew Testament, from Psalm 78, verses 1 through 4. And thereafter we'll read from the New Testament, from 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. And the heading of Psalm 78 in the Bible is, now that's not part of the original script, it was added later centuries, is to give a title to the different psalms. Like Psalm 23 would be the Shepherd's Psalm or something to that nature. This one has to do with God's goodness and Israel's ingratitude. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. And our second reading from 2 Corinthians. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. Here ends our scripture readings. May it be that you and I, while we're listening, will receive a message deep in our hearts, and that we will go out from here thanking God and say, my God, that's what I needed to hear this morning. It was also my prayer before I came here this morning. My friends, a certain college recruiter, you know, that's what they do. They go to the high schools and then they seek out the best sportsmen and women, and they try to grab them for specific universities, because they're really interested in, you know, lifting up their sports teams. Now, this college recruiter was busy with an interview with a young man that was known to be his high school's basketball star. And so the conversation went something like this. The recruiter said, well, son, I hear you're pretty good. And the young man, enough self-confidence, he said, sir, I am the best there is. I averaged 45 points per game. I was the best rebounder in my high school. And sir, I led our team to 3 undefeated seasons and 3 state championships. Oh, that's incredible, said the recruiter. But tell me, you have so many strengths. Do you always have any weaknesses? Well, thinking for a while, finally the youngster said sheepishly, well, sir, I do have a tendency to exaggerate. Well, we know from the writings of the Apostle Paul that he was an optimistic and mostly a positive person who have the ability to inspire and to energize not only the people of his time, but through his writings, people of all ages. Actually, when you think of Paul, nothing could get him really under. Even when he was about to be executed, he sang a song and he said, "Whatever happens to me, chop off my head. Nothing can separate me from the love of God that I have in Christ Jesus." He was an inspiring person to the very end. But suddenly, while he was writing to the Corinthians, he changes his tone. And he made a confession right in the middle of his letter. He said, "Friends, I have to tell you something. I am suffering from a personal weakness." And immediately the ears perk up. What could this weakness possibly be? Now, let me assure you, before we all start guessing, that there are many, many theories. And the bottom line is, nobody can say with absolute certainty. We have thoughts, yes, but we do not know for sure what the apostle's weakness was. He says that weakness, whatever it was, kept him from being too elated, too exultantly proud, joyful and in high spirits. Now, there are many theories through the centuries. I remember distinctly in my final year in theological seminary, in one of our examinations, we got the question, "Will you please theorize about what the apostle's weakness was, and then give us reasons, theological reasons, what you thought it was?" Well, I definitely didn't have a good answer, but I at least passed the exam. And we will always wonder about that. Some of the theories that some of our modern theologians and researchers come up with are so amazing that not even I'm ready to say them from the pulpit. You will be amazed at how many people through the ages have wondered about what is the apostle's weakness. Well, Paul was indeed a great person. All of us, but for all the world. His writings influenced and changed the content of the New Testament and got people thinking across the world. There were other powerful men like that as well. Julius Caesar, one of the famous Caesars in Roman history, and the same weakness that he had, Napoleon also had, two of the great men in history. Both of them were epileptics, as many others have been, many other great important people. Now, I'm not saying it is, but that is one theory. If the Apostle Paul was epileptic in those days, he was stuck with it, because then they had no cure. They didn't even understand completely what it was. They didn't know how to deal with it. They had no effective medicine. So if that was his thorn in his flesh, then he lived with it and finally he died with it. Makes me think, you all have your weaknesses as well. I don't. Thanks for the smile. We all have our weaknesses. No one, not even one of us, is perfect. Now, it may be more difficult for some of us to admit. And like that young man for the recruiter, people sometimes do exaggerate. Some of us think ourselves much larger than we really are. Legends in our own minds. Well, I may have had that problem until I met Tinka. And every time when my head made for the clouds, she grabbed me by the feet and she pointed them down back on the floor. And I thank God every day of my life that a dreamer like me had a practical woman to keep me in check. We certainly all have our weaknesses. Some of our weaknesses are physical, some are mental, and some are of a moral nature. Some of those weaknesses have to do with our work, some have to do with our family life, some with our private lives, and some with our faith. Some are short-tempered, doesn't take much to get them angry and agitated. I know some of those. You always have to tiptoe around them, or you're in trouble, buddy. Others are best described as a bull in a china shop. They lack diplomacy. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. We all know those people. We can identify them. Some are too proud, while others have no backbone at all. The bottom line is no one is 100% perfect. Is that bad? Well, I think our text is telling us that it might be part of our Creator's plan for us. Paul thought of it that way. He wrote about it that way. And he had not only learned in his life to accept the thorn in his flesh, at a later stage, he even began to boast about his weakness in order not to elevate himself, but to show the power of Christ. Our weakness can become our strength as well. And once when we have recognized and admitted to ourselves at least what our weaknesses are, some of us may even learn to rejoice that we are not as perfect as we sometimes pretend after all. And if our weaknesses can cause us to grow and reach beyond our limitations, then our weaknesses can become our strengths. And they will definitely become our strengths if they make us more determined. Our weaknesses may become strengths, especially as in the case of the Apostle Paul, when transformed by our faith as Christians in God. You see, perhaps if it has not been for the thorn in his flesh, Paul would not have realized that the power of God could also work through him. Because after all, if Paul had no God, we wouldn't have known today that he ever existed. He would be an insignificant human being of 2,000 years ago, and he would have always remained a great unknown. Or he might have been a loudmouth of the first century, trumpeting his own wonderful features about him, things about him, and then especially he would have been forgotten the day he died. So maybe we need to complain a little bit less about our weaknesses. In short, if you find yourself with a bitter lemon, you better get up and seek until you find the recipe to make lemonade. I was seeking an illustration. How can we see this in somebody that we all know? And that's why if you see in today's bulletin, there's something that Helen Keller wrote and said that's so beautiful that I knew I couldn't remember it also. I printed it for you in the bulletin when you go home today so that that can remind you. She's maybe the best example I could think of. You see, she was blind and she was deaf from the age of 19 months old. It's a mere baby. Yet, she inspired millions by sharing her experiences and her insights with the entire world. And carried by modern media of the past century, there are very few people in the world who have not at least heard the name of Helen Keller. Because you see, Helen believed that no pessimist ever discovered the secrets of the stars. No pessimist ever sailed an uncharted land. No pessimist ever opened a new doorway for the human spirit. Illness struck the baby Helen Keller when she was only 19 months old. With what result? They say that immediately after her illness, when it was discovered, when it happened, she turned into a wild little brat that no one could manage. Moreover, she was the ultimate pessimist and believed that she had no reason to live at all, because for her, life meant nothing but torture. And she raged against the caged torture of her nothingness. Then another woman came in her life. Her name is Annie Sullivan. And I wonder if there wasn't an Annie Sullivan, maybe there would never have been a Helen Keller, because it was Annie Sullivan who took the little, excuse me for calling her a brat, but people who wrote about her say she really was when she was small. And Amy Sullivan took her, and she taught her to speak. She taught her to read, and she taught her to write. And thereafter, Helen Keller graduated from college, and she herself became a lecturer who had the ability to inspire anyone who ever heard her. And she's been dead for more than 50 years. But her legend today is as strong, if not stronger, than it was 50 years ago. Helen Keller literally went where no one had gone before. She opened a new doorway for the human spirit. Before she could speak and read, she earned respect and received support as an underdog. No one could call her a loser. And that is the point worth understanding from Scripture today. No one could call her a loser anymore. She accepted help. She accepted help. Annie Sullivan came into her life. You know what? That's what many people in our time still refuse to do. I will never forget, years ago, I visited a member of a church, our church, who was so active and so busy in the church, and suddenly that person just disappeared. And finally, I decided there was no way. I don't like doing that because we do not check on people. I don't think we should. We must trust God to call through God's Spirit. In that case, I went, and after a discussion, he finally came to say, "Fred, I'm going to tell you, alcohol is destroying me." He said, and a few people found out about it. And I'm afraid it may get to the church people, because you know how church people are. I'll never forget that. So it's maybe good to say it for once. And I remember the day when he walked back into church facing the reality of his situation, that I got a lump in my throat. I saw him entering through the door. And thank God. The day came when he accepted help. People should never refuse or be too proud to accept help. Never fear that others would label them as helpless or as losers. Helen Keller overcame her worst disabilities. Not even bad habits. Her worst disabilities. And she turned them into her greatest strengths. Come to think of it, we can each do that. We all have disadvantages and weaknesses. Overcoming them is our biggest challenge. Some of us here in church today may have been wrestling for many, many years to overcome a weakness that we are aware of. But oh, we're so afraid that someone else will find it out. And I think once, when we get more honest about who we really are, we will discover that others will start supporting us because they want us to succeed in life. The first step is to accept help from someone. Oh, be not proud. Oh, be not so proud that it takes you away from your God. Help is easier to find if we are prepared to accept it when we find it. And in most cases, finding help is a matter of asking questions about where can I find help for my weakness. My friends, winners in life are not those without weaknesses or disadvantages. They are those who have identified their weaknesses and their disadvantages and worked so hard to overcome them. Losers are those who have not done one or the other. Identify your weaknesses and your disadvantages. And then the job of overcoming them becomes easier when we identify them and admit we have them. There are no solutions to the problems of life until we accept what our problems are. Solutions simply never go around hunting for problems to solve. I must say that again. I had to read it 3 times. Somebody else wrote it and I loved it when I saw it. Solutions simply never go around hunting for problems to solve. Ain't that beautiful? If our weakness helps us to grow, if our weakness makes us more determined to succeed, if our weakness causes us to try new things, and most of all, if our weakness causes us to rediscover, even if we have to crawl back to God, way back to the heart of God, then your weakness and my weakness can become a strength. Our scar can become a star. Our hurt can become a halo. Power is made perfect in weakness. Paul says that when he went to God in his pain, Paul says, "My God answered the words of Scripture. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness." Amen. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Loving God, we confess that often life is not easy. Like the Apostle Paul, we all have our thorns, whether they are thorns of the flesh or of the spirit. Like Paul, we have a choice of how we understand the hardships and trials that come our way. If we place our trust in human strength alone, we find ourselves in a position of weakness. Oh, help us, God, not to be bitter, resentful, or angry when adversity comes our way. Help us to see that our weaknesses can indeed become our strengths, and that your grace is sufficient for all our needs. Grant us, O God, in and through Jesus Christ, that humility to yield to you our will, so that you might adapt it to your purpose. Wherever we are, you are with us. We celebrate and give thanks for your presence with us in all that we do. We are your people, and you are our God. And we now pray for all who struggle with thorns of the flesh or spirit, that your strength might be sufficient for all needs. The prayers spoken and the prayers you know that are in our hearts now as we pray, we now bring to you in the assurance that you receive our prayers, that you receive us just as we are. Continue, we pray, O God. Continue to guide us toward authentic, present, and meaningful service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.